Welcome back to WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We actually have an on-deck circle here now at Pappas. We're out at Cockeysville. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving away some Raven scratch-offs to folks in the bar out here. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour also includes our friends at Goodwill, doing great things for Thanksgiving on the 23rd downtown at the Convention Center. Email me if you want to volunteer Wednesday morning around 10 a.m. Come downtown and help people less fortunate yourself. You'll feel good about yourself. That's the thanks and the giving. This is the giving part for you folks. Nest at BaltimorePositive.com and Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, taking great care of me. David Steele's taking great care of me. It was always a choice. His new book on race, America, and sports. Did I get all three? Is that right? Am I missing
anything? Those are the big three.
And athlete activism as well. Mike Bordick is here. Adam Kolarik's here. Frank Kolarik's here. I'm going to be bringing them in to talk about the League of Dreams, playing baseball, all that kind of stuff. I want to talk to you about media a little bit. Look, man, it's you spent your hour reading my 19,000 words, as have 31,000 other people. Thank you very much. I don't know where the activism is in all this or what the end game is, but I'm never going to shut up. I'm never going to go away. You know this. Maybe Chad Steele doesn't know this. How are you related to Chad? No, I'm just kidding. Between two ferns. I'm just kidding.
That's the record 1 millionth time I've been asked that question, but no, that's okay. that and Michael Steele. I'm apparently related to both of them.
I didn't even come up with that until I just asked it. I didn't realize you had the same last name until, like, I said Chad Steele. I'm like, oh, that's your last name, too. I didn't think about that. Mike Porter's going to be coming on, right? I mean, Mike's back here. He did a panel the other day. Yeah. I didn't watch it, but Mark Hyman, I knew about it down in Maryland. If you're familiar, Christine Brennan was on the panel. My buddy John Arendt. I knew everybody on the panel. Ken Rosenthal was his... It was his typist in 1988. So, I mean, I knew everybody on the panel. Torrey Smith was on that panel as well. And we are in a different space. And, you know, I mean, I'll bring Bordick into it as well. But we're in a different space with my relationship with Mike Bordick 23 years later. When he signed, 99, 98? No, he was in 97. God, I've been knowing Bordick 25 years. Oh, my God. And, like, he... like still likes me 25 years later. I'm not good. No one from the 2022 Ravens is going to know who I am ever because I don't have access anymore, even if I had access. And I think about all this week. I'll give you an example. This week, a friend of mine, Ron Snyder, has a dear, you know, Ron, colleague,
Ron,
right?
Yeah.
Has his best friend, best man at his wedding, is battling in a serious stage four
right,
battle.
I heard that.
And I found out about this week. I don't want to get too choked up, but especially what my wife's been through. He reached me and said, my guy's an Oriole and Raven fan. Could you help out? Well, that guy over there sent a video. Joe Flacco sent a video. Matt Stover sent a video. Todd Heap sent a video. You know, anybody I tell, if he had a Caps fan, I would have had trots through. But, like, that's the kind of relationship community, sports, journalism, community. We're a community team. We report to the community. We're here for the community. We play for the community. We're a part of the community, except if you want to ask us tough questions. And that's changed. They never liked tough questions, but they understood your role. We're in a whole different place with $5 billion franchises, I think.
Well, I don't think we're ever going back to the way it was, even when I got into it, like, back in the 80s. You know, it's, you know, there were so many other opportunities and, you know, so many more reasons and opportunities for access with people, with players, with people who are connected with the organization one way or the other.
Well, baseball is with Bordick 6 days a week, 8 months a year for 2, 3, 4, 5 years with relationships built on Cal and Brady and the people that have been there and Ben McDonald, all these people. And they're still, most of them, still very much in my life. And I could have texted Bill Ripken and said, would you make a video for this fella battling cancer? I mean, you know, and there was a touch, and there was an importance to the city you served and where you made your money before Aubrey Huff came along and called us an ish town, right? You know what I mean? But that sort of stuff. I thought that was the end of him. I thought you couldn't call the place you play an ish hole and come back and put a cap on and walk out. I don't know. When he did that, I was like, I was on the radio time. I'm like, you can't let him play for you.
Yeah.
You can't have him come out with a Baltimore on his shirt after saying that and let him play. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, we're at a different place.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, I don't think it's any doubt. And not to say that it was any sort of, like, glorified thing back way back in the day, because that's the thing. We've seen how teams and organizations and franchises have treated people before, and you've seen that the bond between, in a lot of cases, the athlete, the city, the fans, the locals, you know, those end up remaining pretty strong. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you mentioned Torrey Smith being at that panel at University of Maryland. Matter of fact, go Terps. I got to remind everybody of that. But, you know, I've been fortunate enough to have known Torrey when I was out there covering Maryland games, when he was playing for them and stuff.
You're a Maryland J school grad, right?
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Merrill School, yeah.
No,
Merrill College,
I mean,
Journalism.
What you were taught in a journalism class in the 1980s is a little different than the way the world. I wonder what they're teaching.
I think we still teach everybody the basics of what to expect, what to understand, and what standards to live up to. But you also understand that, like, when you get out there in the world, you're going to see some stuff that's like not going to fit in with what you were taught. But Torrey, just for example, I mean, he was here. You know, he bonded with the people. I mean, look at it. He's not from Baltimore, but now he really is a part of Baltimore. And by choice. He has made the decision to, you know, commit full time to this area, and that has worked out great for the city, for this whole area.
Well, the work
for
he's
everybody
doing
down in Maryland
is unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And Aaron, the same thing. Aaron, you know, he left out to go to college. He played in the pros, and the first opportunity he had when he had a chance to really pick his place where he wanted to make an impact, he came back home
teaching kids,
taught. Children, teaching them art.
He's a special cat.
Yeah,
and I can't get him on a show, man. He's always busy.
Yeah,
and I got to know him a little bit when he played for the Bills when he came back home.
One impact when you talk to him, I'm telling you, when you actually talk to him, even for a few minutes, the impact he has on you, just you want to go to battle with him, and you want to go to battle with guys like Torrey, and those guys will, you know, they will make that commitment for you. And it's really amazing. And I have to congratulate Torrey. And I'm sorry I wasn't able to make it out to the thing earlier in the week out in Maryland. But
Symposium. They don't invite
you.
Me to symposiums. That's what I should tell Bordy.
we should crash it next time. That's what you get. Make a plan to crash the symposium next year. But, yeah, you know, I'm an officer with the Baltimore Association of Black Journalists. We had a webinar a little over a year ago where we were talking about a lot of these issues. This is before I even... you know, put the book together and everything like that. But I reached out to Torrey and said, you know, I would really love for you to be on this panel. And, you know, we figured out what the time was and everything that he came on. He was actually supposed to only stay on for like maybe about, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. He stayed right until the very end, through all the end of the questions, things like that. We had an incredible conversation. Aaron Maben was on that conversation. He was part of that webinar as well.
Well, these are people that want to make a difference, not just take the money and run.
No, absolutely not. They've taken the money and put it into where they've chosen to be, whether it's home in the case of Aaron Maben, or whether it's your chosen home, where Torrey has chosen to raise his family, you know, to coach his little kids in football. You see these little videos that he loves to put on.
I got pictures of his little one on my wife's lap at the Super Bowl, you know, drooling.
His little kid.
And now that kid's running around. It's unbelievable.
His little kid crashed our webinar. His little head popped up in the middle of the thing. But, but in a lot of cases, you know, the personal connections, the interpersonal, you know, bonds that you have are the ones that last forever. Because, I mean, look, if there's one thing I learned when I came in here to work full time here in Baltimore, that committing to a franchise, when that franchise can pack up in the middle of the night and drive away on you, that's all you need to ever keep in your mind. I mean, I grew up in D.C. I mean, the baseball team before I was born and the baseball team when I was like 6 years old. Bolted. And it was 33 more years. But we had to share you guys. Everybody hated that. Nobody in D.C. liked that.
You think
nobody
we liked sharing Jack Cook? Think I ever rooted for John
that?
Riggins?
How about that? They said, oh, yeah, come on down. Sure, no problem. We're just like, eh, no, it's okay. But it wasn't your team.
Do I look like I root for Hogs?
It was not your team. Orioles,
and
I tried.
It would be my team.
And there you go. That's an important thing. Because, you know, it's like, how do you establish that? But the players, I mean, look, there were probably millions of D.C. fans who were rooting for the Phillies all because of Bryce Harper. They wanted Bryce Harper to win. They were rooting for the Astros because they wanted Dusty Baker to win.
Okay, well let's bring this full circle then, because, I mean, your book is about Colin Kaepernick, and I pimp the book. David Steele's here. We're out at Pappas. Just the last thing before I introduce Bordy and do all this stuff. Lamar, in the middle of all of this, when you talk about giving somebody $250 million, what would that look like for him in Baltimore and making an impact? Ray Lewis is running around beating on his chest about making an impact in the city, and Ed Reed is trying, you know, like John Ogden, like those are iconic guys that are going to have statues and like all that. That's all fine. But then there's what Torrey Smith's done, or what Mike Bordick has made a life here, when he could live in Maine. B.J. Suroff's lived here forever. The people, the Artie Donovans, the Unitases, the people that made this their home, Mike Flanagan, people that made this their home, coming from other places. I'm not expecting Lamar Jackson to be living in Hunt Valley 22 years from now the way Cal Ripken was, right? But there is this, you're taking more than anybody's ever taken. Where is the point that you give? And certainly for our city, black transcendent quarterback that's bigger than the league in many. You see his jersey every. His jersey, he's moving into sort of this iconic place without having won yet because of he does things differently. The impact and what it means for him to stick around here in this city at this time.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for him to consider. It's a lot for him to say, is this, you know, any sort of a compromise for me? Is this a commitment that I want to make? You know, yes, I feel like I deserve the money. I feel like I should have it, certainly more than Steve Bisciotti should have. Well, you know, because that's really what it comes down to. People who are rooting for one side is like, would you rather Lamar Jackson has the money, or would you rather Steve Bisciotti has the money? That's really what it comes down to. But you know, Lamar has seen this. Lamar has been close to it, and he's observed it very, very closely. What this is like. He also knows that not only is he beloved here, but he also knows that he can be an agent for enormous change just by being here and being the quarterback that he is, by not having to be Joe Flacco, by not having to be, you know, whoever, him having to be somebody else. Say, like, I can play quarterback this way. I can win with this. I think everybody believes that. Yes, at some point, if he stays, if he gets this money, he is going to be the face of the franchise, and they're going to be the one, and he's going to be the guy leading this franchise to a Super Bowl. And of course, if he does that, it's all over. He just owns the city. It's all.
You feeling good? How are you feeling right now as we sit here at the bye week, right? Hey. I mean, they're just supposed to win these next three games, right?
Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I feel a lot like what I felt like last year before he got hurt. I mean, I felt that. I mean, this is the kind of year that he was not.
They're
necessarily
better right now
flawless.
Than they were a year ago.
Yeah, they overall,
Stanley, they
as a team,
Smith, better
yeah,
right now.
If everybody comes back, if everybody's healthy, if they get Andrews back healthy, if Rashad comes back healthy, and if he has all his weapons and all the pieces and the defense comes together the way they're starting to come together, the way they're doing things, yeah. I mean, how many teams would you absolutely say there's absolutely no way they're going to get past this team, certainly in the AFC?
Well, Buffalo better figure out how to get to Detroit by the time
we
listen to this.
That's what I'm talking about.
And they play Thanksgiving as well. All right, man. Well, listen, I want to get Mike Bordick up onto the set.
Absolutely.
It was great having a crab cake with you.
This
is not the Pappas in Texas.
It's not.
He came in, Pappas in Texas. I'm like,
I thought it was like, hey, I didn't know they had a Pappas out here.
Like Parksville. Parksville is what this is. But we're actually in Cockeysville.
Great discovery.
Big appreciation to Justin, my partner Audrey, and everybody for making this happen out here. It's all brought to you, of course, by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation. I got the hat out here. And Mike Bordick's out. We're going to be talking about League of Dreams. Frank Kolarik's here. Adam Kolarik's here. I'm going to put headsets on them. We got world champions here, baseball players, real broadcasters like Mike Bordick, and real writers like David Steele. But come back on at some point, Super Bowl time. Let's continue this conversation. For Kaepernick, have you talked to him?
He is a very hard guy. I've talked to a lot of people around him. And that's the thing. I want to be very clear about that. I don't want anybody to think this is a Colin Kaepernick biography. But, you know, I've talked to him to a lot of people, including Tommy Smith, about who he is and where he stands in the midst of all this. And I think that we see now, and it's so weird to think that it's been 6 years.
Is he
since
not
that
doing
began.
Enough by talking to people like you when you're writing a book on this? I mean, I don't see him enough.
He's
not in my face enough.
I look at what he did, and again, you know, to plug the book, there's a lot in there about that. There's a lot in there about here's what he's doing rather than being the face of this and doing a lot of interviews and stuff. It's like he's doing the book projects, the movie projects, the podcast projects, the entire Know Your Rights camp that he's doing out in California, and it's branched out a lot of places, including here in Baltimore. He's done a bunch of events
here. I'm just
saying
with his cause, when people want to shed a light on it, you would think that he would want to come on a show like mine for 12 minutes and one day for some reason to promote some cause. You know, like,
it's different.
He should be out in front of it more.
Yeah.
I go back and forth about it.
It was, yeah. And some guys are the person, and it's really part of, you know, somebody's individual decision to make a sacrifice like he did. That's a that when you make a leap like that, you really have to be. And again, that's always
courage
tied back into 1960. It's hard. It is hard. Tommy Smith is not a natural talker. It's hard to believe because you see him pop up in a whole bunch of places doing interviews and things like that. John Carlos is the talker.
Okay.
He's the mouth. He's the guy who's like
right on.
Loves the camera, loves the microphones, loves to make the appearance, things like that. Tommy Smith really has to make himself do that. But so it's really not part of his personality.
Well, it's not like Kaepernick's not culturally relevant.
Right,
know?
And that's the whole thing. Yeah, he's extremely culturally relevant, and he has managed to do that without doing an interview every
single time. Without being Muhammad Ali.
Exactly,
right. Gotcha,
yeah. So it's a different style, and it's a different way of doing it. And again, it's sort of a way to focus on, like, you know, it's a very big commitment to make, because in a lot of people's minds, and understandably so, that's a part of it. You have to be in front of it and talk all the time. And he's like, that's not really what he's doing. He's never really done that. The first time he really did that. No, he didn't. No,
he never thought it was meant to be a statement.
Exactly.
Statement, not a movement.
Yeah. No, and there's no way he could have imagined that, like, 4 years later, there would be literally millions of people in cities across the country taking a knee in the middle of the street to protest exactly what he was protesting. And for other NFL players to do it and tell Roger Goodell, we want to see you do that. And Roger Goodell set up a little camera and actually took a knee on camera and said, Black Lives Matter. There's no way anybody could have imagined that was ever going to happen when he first did what he did. He was just sitting back on the sidelines and everybody was standing out there with their hands on their hearts. And from there, boom, look at where we are now.
Change happens. It's just slowly.
It happens.
Just don't tell Wes more of that, right? I'm getting together with Wes.
Don't want to be slow.
I think Wes is going to be with us week after next as well.
Do
so
that.
I'm working on that. All right, we're at Pappas. We're having crab cakes. All of it brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and Window Nation. I'm going to bid adieu to David Steele, but it's never adieu. I'll see you next time.
You will, absolutely.
All right,
thank
David
you.
Steele, good man out here. I fed him a great crab cake. Come on out to Pappas. Give him some love. Mike Bordick's going to be joining us with Adam Kolarik, as well as Frank Kolarik from Catonsville. World champions from Catonsville. I asked him if he brought his ring. He's such a humble kid. I was warned about how humble and quiet he's going to be, so.
I wanted to see the ring.
I want to see the ring, too. I'm Nestor. We're back for more from Pappas right after this on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us. We're BaltimorePositive.com.